Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said it's easier to float a rumor than to sink one. We appreciate this opportunity to be with you today and the opportunity of our Bible study. One of our listeners suggested that it might be a good idea to study for a while concerning the establishment of biblical authority. And I concur with that, and I'll do what I can in trying to point out how we establish what is authorized and what we ought to do in our worship unto God. There are some underlying messages that must be looked at, first of all, before we get into this particular subject. So we'll begin thinking about that and using that as a basis for our study. First of all, let me suggest to you that in order for us to deal in religion in any kind of unity, in any kind of oneness, there must be a standard whereby we can go to and determine what is right and what is wrong. Think of the confusion of the world about us if we simply allowed everybody to have his own standard and everybody do his own thing. Well, of course, it's not really up to us. It's up to the Lord. Did the Lord decide that he wanted that kind of confusion? Now, there's a statement in the book of Judges, the 21st chapter, that indicates in verse 25, there was no king in Israel in those days. Therefore, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, think about that for a moment. If everybody does that which is right in his own eyes, then really there is no wrong in religion. Everything is all right, and nobody would have to worry about what he does because all he has to do is just do what he wants to do. Well, the Bible very plainly makes known to us that there must be a standard of authority, and there never has been a time, even from the very beginning, that we have been left totally on our own. Certainly, we have a standard of right and wrong. Go back to the garden, and in the garden there was established law. God gave to man the right to be in the garden, but he gave to him laws about his activities in the garden, what he was to eat and what he was not to eat. And of course, that's where sin came into the world, as man violated the law that God had given. So I suggest to you very clearly, the Bible teaches that there must be a standard of right and wrong. We accept that in every realm of our lives. When a person goes to school, he learns things that have to do with standards that are commonly accepted. Now, if there's no standard of right and wrong as far as schools are concerned, then the child who has the answer to 2 plus 2 equals 5, he's just as right as the one who has 2 plus 2 equals 1. Those answers are incorrect because they don't meet the standard that has been given. Well, that's true not only in mathematics in our schools, but it's also true in regard to religious authority. When a person comes up with an incorrect answer in regard to religion, he is not just simply patted on the head and said, "It's all right, you have your view and somebody else has their view." But even as it is in school, he understands the fact that there's a right and a wrong answer. And if I give the wrong answer, then I'm going to have to realize that I'm in violation of the standard of authority that has been given. We understand that in regard to our buying habits. We don't go to a store and expect to find 5 pounds of sugar that has been guessed at. Somebody just decided this is 5 pounds, so we'll put that in a bag and we'll call that 5 pound of sugar. It may be short, or it may be over, but we certainly would not want it to be that way. We have a standard we go by, and the pound is the standard by which we govern what we're going to do along those lines. And for a person to say, well, I don't accept that standard, doesn't really change things. It would only bring about confusion in the matter of religious activity. Well, let's look at a statement in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. You remember the record says concerning the word of God, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Now look at this very clearly. First of all, they read in the book of the law of God. That indicates it's God's law that makes the difference. They read it distinctly. That is, it was clearly understood. They gave the sense. They explained what is meant by a particular passage. And they caused them to understand the reading. That is, through careful study, the proper reading or the proper meaning came from a particular passage. Now, all of that indicates, does it not, that there is a standard and that we must go by the standard. We must find out what is said in the passages that are given from God. When I tell you today that the Bible is the standard of right and wrong, that's nothing new. It ought to be very easily understood. The Bible is God's Word, and it contains the mind of God. Therefore, it is certainly what God wants us to know and to follow in religious matters. Now I look at James chapter 4 and verse 12, and I read that there is one lawgiver. Now the question comes to mind, if there is one lawgiver, what's his law? What law has he given? What are we governed by? And how do we conduct ourselves so that we meet the laws that have been set by that one lawgiver? Well, of course, again, there is the matter of coming back to the Word of God. In the Roman letter, chapter 10, 1 and 2, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Can you see in this passage the fact that being zealous in what they were doing didn't make them right? They had to follow the will of the Father in heaven. They had to do God's will, and that will is revealed in the Bible. So even though they were zealous in their activities, you could mark it down they were wrong because they were not doing what God had authorized in His Word. So the Bible then is the standard of right and wrong in religious matters. Now that we establish the idea that there must be some standard of authority, we can't just go off on our own and do just anything that we want to do in religious activity. From this point, we'll be able to go on and notice some essentials to understanding what the Word of God says and establishing the authority behind any action or practice that we engage in. I hope you'll be listening again tomorrow. We appreciate your listening today and remind you that it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.